Welcome to The First Serve, talking the world of tennis on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. For AFT Hire, for all your temporary fencing and portable toilet hire, call 1300 946 660 or log on to afthire.com.au.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the first serve of the 2016 tennis season. Officially getting underway today, and the first serve comes to you live from Pat Rafter Arena for the 8th edition of the Brisbane International, which is the first stop for many of the world's top players. The Hopman Cup also gets underway in Perth today. Aussie green and gold for the very first time. Tournaments beginning right around the world as well, as all the top players begin a crucial phase leading into the first Grand Slam of the year, and extremely keen to get their hands on a trophy or two. This is one spectacular arena, Pat Rafter Arena. He will be here, the great man, at some stage during the week. Qualifying has got underway yesterday, a big kids day in the next hour or so. Tickets have been selling like hotcakes here for what is a star-studded field on both the men's and the women's side. So great to be here for the week. Brett Phillips with a magnificent view, let me tell you, of Pat Rafter Arena. Dominika Sibulkova, the Australian Open runner-up of a couple of years ago, has just been hitting up. Probably one of the hardest workers on the tour. She is relentless, putting in double sessions, triple sessions every day. It's fascinating to watch the players up close, how they go about their business. Back at SEN headquarters, the coach extraordinaire, getting set for another big summer of tennis, metrotennis.com.au. Check him out, Paul Aitken. Morning, Paul.
Good morning, BP, and to all the listeners, and a happy new year to you, my friend.
Indeed. This is not a bad place to spend the early part of the new year. We are expecting maybe a share or two. The good part is, Paul, at Pat Rafter Arena has got the roof. There's sort of the open air above, so if you're sitting in the seats up the top, you might get a little spray or two. But luckily yesterday for qualifying, that real heat of the day and the humidity for a Melbourneian, I've probably got to toughen up a little bit, but the humidity up here is, in the heat of the day, is quite stifling. But yeah, for the players yesterday, they had to fight pretty hard on the back courts. And one really good success story, Paul. We've talked about him. We're following his journey closely, this young Oliver Anderson. And at 17 years of age, caused a big upset. He's just outside the top 800, defeated a player ranked at 150 in the world. And he had the Brisbane crowd here, all his family. He's a Brisbane boy, and he's one we're certainly keeping an eye on.
Yeah, look, I saw him around 2 months ago now at Traralgon. And, for 17 years old, very flat ball striker, really hits through the court well, great backhand. And I think in Asia he beat a couple of guys in the 200s there. So another one that we're just unveiling in the men.
Absolutely. And he's going to take on Tim Smircek today, who's 109 in the world and has been as high as 68. So if Oliver Anderson took another scalp, that would certainly put him in lights. I think he's already going to go from 800 to about 750-odd, courtesy of that one qualifying win. So the draw is open. Unfortunately, Matt Reed didn't get through yesterday. He lost to Smircek. It would have been an all-Aussie qualifying round today. But, yeah, for Matt, it's just probably not going to happen, is it, Paul? He's been around a while now, and he just can't seem to be able to take that next step.
Yeah, it appears that way. He's very strong. Loves to get first strike, big serve when he gets going, but it's probably beyond him now, I would think. But with Smircek playing against Anderson, that will be a great match, but I think Smircek may have a little bit too much guile there, a bit too much strategy for Oliver at this stage.
Yeah, the more experienced player. The other player to note in qualifying today is big Ernest Gulbis. We spoke about him on the show last week as one of the underachievers of 2015. His ranking went from inside the top 20 to about 80 in the world. I was watching Ernest practice yesterday. He got through to today's round. Gerald Donaldson, one of the rising Americans, is also left in the qualifying. Yoshihito Nishikawa, who's the young man who won the Asia Pacific wildcard into the Australian Open. He's through to the second round of qualifying up here as well. We're hopefully going to have a chat to Cam Pearson, the Brisbane International Tournament Director, in just a moment. Bojana Babusic live in Perth, coming up with the Hopman Cup starting today. Happy Valley, I imagine, I've never been to Happy Valley, Paul. So does that mean that everyone that lives there is just in a very good mood all the time? Well, very upbeat sort of place?
Yeah, you would think so, wouldn't you? It's a nice sounding name, that's for sure. Look, there's a couple of matches there that I'm looking forward to.
Big challenger.
Yes, the Mad Dog Marenko Matosevic is playing in the qualies, would you believe, there this morning.
Yeah, that's tough, isn't it?
It is.
But that's where he's at the moment. We're just seeing him play qualifying at Melbourne Park a couple of weeks ago, and you, when your ranking dips down to 300 in the world, you've got no other choice but to do the yards and try and get back. So we'll get to Happy Valley. Viv Christie, she's live in Perth along with Boyana for the Hotman Cup from the Australian Tennis Magazine. But happy to take your calls right throughout the hour. Any of your tennis observations as we head into a new year, 9429 1116, or you can text in 0433 98 1116. Your chance to win a family pass from the Australian Open guided tour, of course, at Melbourne Park, all thanks to Tennis World. You too can have a Grand Slam experience with Tennis World, court hire, coaching, function rooms, and a whole lot more for all things tennis. Tennisworld.net.au is the number and the website to have a look at. Now, one little interesting thing we can speak about off the top here, Paul, is the two discretionary wildcards that remain as far as the men are concerned. We learnt during the week, and I spoke to young Omar Jasika on breakfast. He's been given one, and now it's down to Ebdom, you would think, Jordan Thompson, and also JP Smith. What's your take on Omar this week, getting the wild card, and how the other two might be decided?
Look, I think it's a tough decision because the wild cards, as we know, are always very contentious. And look, I'm very happy personally for Omar. I think it's I've seen him play a number of times, and he is just a fantastic potential prospect. But I would argue at this point there's a few others in line before him. And I would do that on the basis that the men's tour is made up of three tiers: the futures, the challenges, and then the main tour. Mm-hmm. Now, Omar has really proven himself on the futures circuit, but in terms of the challenges, which is really the gateway to the tour, he actually had a 6-13 win-loss ratio, so negative there. And then if you look at Jordan Thompson, he had a 28-16 win-loss record. And won a couple of challenges. JP Smith actually won a challenger, qualified for two Grand Slams off his own bat, and made the semis, beating Bernard Tomic in one of the other events. So as much as I think it's wonderful that we award on potential, I think we've also got to look at a little bit of merit as well.
And of course, there is a panel, and Todd Woodbridge actually said to me on breakfast during the week, I'm quite thankful I'm not on that panel anymore, because there are some hard decisions to be made. And I suppose it's a combination of things: age, potential, what you've done in the last 12 months, no doubt, I imagine, your relationship with Tennis Australia. So many different things that go into it that we're not necessarily privy to.
Right.
You would think, though, the way the men's draw looks for the Australian Open, that we've learnt, obviously, in the last week or so, no Thanasi Kokkinakis, no Richard Gasquet, Juan Monaco won't play, and there's a doubt now on Janko Tipsarevic, the former top 10 player who has been out for the best part of the last 17 months, having had foot surgery. If he's not physically ready, he's pulled out of Chennai, which starts tomorrow. So unlikely, you would think, he is going to play. So that has opened the door for Duty Seller, Filip Krajcevic, Kyle Edmund to come into direct entry. And then you've got Jaziri, the Tunisian, Balashvili, and then Ebden is the next sort of cab off the rank. So there may be another couple of injuries. So I suppose that decision might be late as to whether he does sneak in direct or he's given a wild card. He probably deserves one.
Oh, he does.
Coming from 250-odd back towards that top 100 this year.
Well, I think when you've got a situation like the men, where we've got so many good men now coming through, I think you've really got to base it on results, in my view. And I think he possibly deserves one. And you'd also, as I said, JP Smith and Jordan Thompson, in my view, it's going to be very, very tight.
Yeah, absolutely. 9429 1116, if you'd like to join us. We might get to Perth very shortly. Just held up, of course, at the moment, the tournament director, Cam Pearson, from joining us. But Bodge is on the ground over there, so she will set the scene. The girls in qualifying here in Brisbane yesterday, unfortunately, Kim Birrell lost in the second round, Junior Athlete of the Year, and a lot of promise, so we're keeping an eye on
her. Very good first round win, though, BP.
She did indeed. Yeah, it was tough yesterday against Samantha Crawford, who, of course, has got the Australian-US reciprocal wildcard into the Australian Open. So she's a pretty handy player from the United States. No Australians left, but I'll tell you who I went and watched yesterday.
Yes,
the lady I mentioned last week on the show is one of my stories of the year, Margarita Gasparyan from Russia.
Wow.
Beautiful single-handed backhand. She has got through two rounds of qualies here. Just keep an eye on her, Paul. That great win in the mighty Azerbaijan last year.
You are a master of picking talent, BP. I will be keeping a very close eye. I tell you what, some of the matchups in this tournament, though, are sensational, aren't they? I mean, even looking at, we've got Duckworth versus Dominic Thiem.
Yep.
Groth versus Hyun Chun, and I think Sam's going to have to really hit the ground running there. That's going to be a very tough match. And, of course, JP's playing Dennis Kudla.
Yeah, he is. Look, they're all really tough games, aren't they? I think for Grothy, and he put in a really solid session with Ben Mathias, practicing for a good hour and a half right in the heat of the day yesterday. He'll need to beat his best, and I suppose a little bit of an unknown, Paul, because he hasn't played for 3 months, but I must say he looks good. He's moving pretty well, but yeah, his opponent is a beauty. And, of course, Duckworth to play Dominic Thiem, who is a rising star.
Yes.
20 in the world, beautiful backhand. Mm. And James Duckworth need to absolutely play his best tennis to overcome the Austrian.
And, look, we often at this time of the year see the Aussies hit the ground running because we're so acclimatised to the heat, the conditions and the court. So I think it really does give our guys a competitive advantage.
No doubt. All right, we might duck across to Perth and just set the scene on the other side of the country where the Hopman Cup, of course, gets underway today. Good friend of ours, former WTA professional. She'll be commentating, of course, for Channel 7. I speak of Bojana Bobusic. Bodge, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are we?
Going nicely. Saw you all dressed up last night. Big occasion. Is it? That's the annual sort of the Hopman Cup lead-in ball, if you like.
Yeah, it was a different format this year. Obviously, in previous years, the Hopman Cup sort of fallen on the 1st of January, and the night before has been the Hopman Cup ball. But last night, they changed it up a little bit and turned it into a cocktail party. So it was all stand-up canapes and finger food, and all the players were out on stage, and a couple of guest appearances, you know, with Margaret Court on stage with Serena Williams. Leighton Hewitt came out and spoke, Andy Murray and Nick Kyrgios. So, yeah, it was a great night, but an early one for the players because obviously play gets underway this morning with Australia Green taking on Germany.
Bodge, Happy New Year to you.
Likewise, Paul.
Priscilla Hahn, she's in the main draw of Brisbane. How do you think she will fare? And for listeners who aren't really familiar with her style of game, how does she play?
Yeah, well, Priscilla's got a really big game. Obviously, she won the girls' 18 on the nationals a few weeks ago and earned her spot into the main draw of the Australian Open, or obviously into Brisbane. But look, I think for her, it's really getting used to playing at another level on the women's tour. She's got a big serve, big forehand, has done a lot of work with Anthony Richardson at the National Academy in Queensland, but is now working with Chris Johnson. So look, she's in some good hands, but you know, hits a very good ball and a great athlete as well. And I think it's just experience. This whole summer for her is about the experience.
Yes.
Coming up against players who are hitting the ball harder, who are physically stronger, and it's, you know, up to her to see if her abilities will be able to match it. And she'll, you know, regardless of how she goes and who she plays, she'll take a lot out of this summer.
Yeah, got a qualifier, of course. Well, that'll be determined a little bit later on today. You mentioned Australia Green up against Germany first up, so it's at 1 o'clock. Melbourne time, plenty of updates on Sunday Sports Central a little bit later on. Daria Gavrilova, what a year for her. Teams up with Nick Kyrgios. I thought Adrian Franklin, who we're going to cross to a little bit later on, done a lot of work at Tennis Australia, now doing some work with Fox Sports and working at the Hopman Cup, wrote a great article on Nick Kyrgios yesterday, Bodge. And now we wait and see what the 2016 edition looks like. But these two together, great partnership. And both could be set for outstanding years in singles. So we get a little taste of that very early in the year.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, we've got some really great matches here at the Hopman Cup. A really solid, you know, number of players in both groups. And obviously we've got Nick Kyrgios. He takes on young gun Alexander Zverev, who's 18 years of age and has really shot through the ranks towards the back end of 2015. But I think the big story and what the Australian public and the public in general would like to see is how Nick Kyrgios starts his 2016. And last night on stage, he seemed pretty relaxed, spoke very well. Obviously, Adrian Franklin wrote that article about him not a few days ago, which I think was quite positive for Nick. And, you know, I think Nick will take a lot out of 2015 and might hopefully change a few things. But look, you know, we get to see Daria Gavrilova, outstanding 2015, inside that top 30. She takes on Sabine Lisicki, who's been a top 10, top 20 player for many years now. So, look, really high-quality tennis. And, you know, it's exciting time of the year. Players are just coming off a training block, first matches of the season. Really, you know, looking forward to seeing their improvements and what they've worked on over the last few weeks.
And, Bodge, Heather Watson and Andy Murray playing for Great Britain. And I read today that Judy Murray is going to coach Heather Watson.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. She's obviously the Fed Cup captain, so has probably had some involvement with Heather within those ties, and probably really feels like she can add to Heather's game. And I've seen Judy, she was at the players' party last night, you know, having a good time. So, you know, the Brits are, you know, a solid team. I think last year they struggled a bit in the mixed doubles when it did come down to that deciding rubber. So that'll be a test for them. But, look, that's exciting for Heather, and she's a solid player, but really probably looking to take that next jump, and hopefully Judy can help her with that.
Very interesting. Well, I saw Heather live in Hobart last year, Bodge, and she was terrific winning that tournament. So that is an interesting little development. Now, Yamila Guidasova, or are we calling her Yamila Wolf? What are we going with, Bodge? The website's got Guidasova. She's recently married. She's going to team up with Leighton Hewitt later on today. Aussie gold shaking on the Czech Republic.
Yeah, look, I think it's just a Twitter handle that's changed. But all in the media guides and everywhere else, it's Guidasova. So I'm not too sure how they go about that. But look, you know, they've got a good matchup tonight against, like you said, BP, the Czech. You know, big talk has been Leighton Hewitt, his last Hopman Cup, sort of last month of tennis for him. You know, I think he was one of the first players that arrived in Perth. He got here on the 30th of December. A lot of players arrived in a few days ago. So he's been training hard in the heat. Yaka, you know, probably hasn't had the best 2015, but she's, you know, she's here. She's going to get, you know, at least three guaranteed solid matches. And, you know, I think with Yaka, we all know she can beat any player on any given day. It's just been that consistency. But, you know, she's got a new coach as well, so let's hope she can get 2016 off to a good start as well.
And, Bodge, you've always got your ear to the ground. Can you tell us anything about any of the ladies' wild cards?
Into
the Australian Open that may be coming up.
To be honest, I haven't really heard anything. I think there's still a couple to be given out. Obviously, we've got Maddie Inglis from Perth, who won the Wild Card playoff, Priscilla Hahn, Cammie Patterson. But I think from what I hear, there's two left, and I think they usually wait and see how Brisbane pan out, how Sydney and how Hobart go. So it'll be interesting. I suspect maybe some of the younger girls will get a shot.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard. It's really hard. And I think that's why, you know, these next couple of tournaments are so important, whether it's qualifying or whether it's main draw. So I think it's a bit of a wait and see.
Indeed. There's a lot of intrigue in the next week or so. Bodge, look forward to your commentary. I think 7-8, just to be exact.
That's correct, BP, 7-8. First match gets underway, 10 a.m. first time, so 1 p.m. Eastern Standard.
Magnificent. Along with the Brisbane International, if you're a tennis fan, some great viewing. You can just flick the remote from one to the other. Bodge, we'll talk very soon. Really appreciate it.
No worries. Have a good day, guys.
Bojana Bobusic just setting the scene for the Hopman Cup, which is... well, been going well over 20 years, some outstanding combinations. No Gael Monfils, Kenny Deschappel, the Frenchman comes in for Gael, but very strong outfits. Andy Murray, certainly the draw card. We'll take a break. The kids are coming in here, Paul. They've got a big kids' day in the next hour.
I bet.
They've been queuing up for about 2 hours. They're champing at the bit. Not sure if a couple of big names will be wandering courtside, but we'll bring you all the latest on that and a whole lot more. The first serve underway here from the Brisbane International.
The icons of Queensland tennis, Roy Emerson, Ashley Cooper and Mr. Rod Laver.
Good news, the Aussies doing well here on day two in Brisbane.
And that's a simple lob for Leighton. He's been a master at that for years.
Yeah, signature shot.
That's impressive. That shows he's got an all-court game, Thanasian.
Well, congratulations, Sam Groff. That is the best tennis I've ever seen you play.
Anna Ivanovic rising to the challenge here in Brisbane. A dream start to the WTA 2015 season for Maria Sharapova.
Game, set and match. They did it.
A lot of matches, a lot of wins, thankfully, because they're all wins in 1,000s we're talking about.
You run out of superlatives to describe Roger.
Just ask him, John Isner, to duck down a little further. Never had a guy 6'10" standing at the net on her side of the court.
Oh, come on.
That'll make the Sports Centre top 10 back in the States.
What a return.
You get more tennis, and I know it's mixed doubles, but I still can go out there and work on my serve, and I can still work on my returns, and there's still things that you can work on, and yeah, that's the positive of this format.
There's a first time for everything. Radwanska, final.
finally breaks through against Serena Williams.
Oh, the drop did, it has! Oh, good wheels!
Wins like this always confidence, especially for the Grand Slam.
Can I get an espresso? Is that in the rules? Have you ever heard a player ask for, I think it was a double shot espresso?
Welcome back to the first serve. Of course, last year's Hopman Cup over there in Perth, always a great lead-in for the players. Yes, and that footage of Serena Williams just sort of getting acclimatised back on Australian shores, asking for the coffee hit. She arrived yesterday, the dark sunglasses. What will she provide in 2016? Of course, the disappointing exit for her at the US Open. We haven't seen her since. A little fleeting cameo at the International Premier Tennis League. But if she can win three of the majors this year, well, she will be statistically the greatest of all time. And at 34, I suppose that assignment is certainly getting a bit tougher. We're live here on that Pat Rafter Arena Kids Day, of course, today, before a couple of ladies singles matches do get underway. Dominika Sibulkova will headline the field. She takes on Jeanine Wickmeyer, who has been a previous top 20 player from Belgium. Hasn't quite been able to keep that status in the game the last few years, but a very, very good opponent. Paul Aitken, of course, back at SEN. And Paul, we've got tournaments going on right across the country and across the globe for that matter. Just to quickly preview the men's side of things, of course, they're in Chennai for the ATP 250 event, which starts tomorrow, officially the main draw. Stan Wawrinka and Kevin Anderson will be the top two seeds. And John Millman deciding to go to Chennai instead of being here in Brisbane, where he gets into his direct entry, takes on Evgeny Donsky of Russia. There's only one rankings point separating those two, Paul, 92 and 91 in the world. So for John, a real opportunity to maybe win a round there in Chennai.
Yeah, I think so. And then if he was to win that, he would then play Roberto Bautista Agut. But I favour John in this first match, that's for sure. And Stan, of course, keeping that preparation the same as he has the last couple of years, which has been pretty successful for him.
Absolutely. Doha in Qatar, also a 250 event, but always great prize money in that part of the world. That starts officially tomorrow, where Djokovic and Nadal will be the top two seeds. And overnight, of course, the Mudabala exhibition event in Abu Dhabi, which is a traditional little event over 3 days. Rafa defeating Milos Raonic 7-6, 6-3. And we're not quite sure what he's going to produce in 2016. But I must say, looking at the highlights, Paul, a couple of feet behind the baseline, that forehand, which has been devastating across his career. Geez, he hit that well in that match. I know it's only an exhibition, but gee, if he can get back to his top form, we can't write off Rafa.
Well, that's right. It's all about the serve for him, that left-handed serve and the forehand pattern straight after the serve. And he's deadly. And he was certainly getting that back to the later tournaments last year, that's for sure.
So the two girls events, apart from here in Brisbane, the WTA Shenzhen Open, which is always a traditional tournament to start the year, and this was, of course, all around Li Na a few years ago when she was at the peak of her powers, her home city over there in China. Agnieszka Radwanska and Petra Kvitova will be the standout top seeds in that event. And the annual ASB Classic, which will be played in Auckland, which starts officially tomorrow. Venus Williams is back there, and I think she's the defending champion. Venus, that event. Ivanovic, Wozniacki, so that's a pretty decent field.
Yes, I know when I went to Auckland there a couple of years ago, talking to some of the drivers, they certainly liked having conversations with Venus. She likes it over there in New Zealand.
Yeah, nice little way to start before hitting the shores. You can just sort of fly under the radar there just a little bit before you come to Australia. I've got a couple of challenges being played around the country at the moment. One in Noumea in New Caledonia. Mm-hmm. Now, a couple of the Aussies have decided to play that. Luke Saville and Jordan Thompson, who did a lot of their training, of course, up here in Brisbane. They've decided to go there. And Happy Valley, which we're going to get to very, very shortly. But I suppose that was sort of the decision that a few of those guys had to make, whether they try and go through qualifying here in Brisbane or play a challenger to start the year.
Well, I think Happy Valley was always going to be very strong as well, because just being there as the lead-up to the Australian Open, it makes a lot of sense for players to come out and play that. So if they were to slip over to Noumea, and just looking at the draw in Noumea, it just looks a little bit weaker, really. I haven't said that, though. They've got some Manarino is the top seed at number 47 in the world. So
yeah.
It's strong no matter where you go. But the matchup in Happy Valley that I'm looking forward to, BP, is Taylor Fritz, the US's top 18-year-old, who we rate highly here on the first serve, versus Mark Polmans, our national 18s champion.
And that is a great matchup because Fritz is a young guy we're very much keeping an eye on. There's he, Tommy Paul, Jared Donaldson, three rising young Americans. And American tennis, a bit like us, Paul, have been searching for the next stars. Post, you know, for them, the Roddick and James Blake, you know, we go all the way back to Sampras and Andre Agassi, even, you know, now we've also got Sam Querrey, who hasn't quite taken off. John Isner done a great job to be just outside the top 10, but they're looking for those next guys who can maybe be superstars in the future.
Well, essentially, they're hardly failing in terms of their the depth they have in the top 200. I think they've got at least 20 guys there. But really, Americans want Grand Slam success, and that's what hasn't happened in the last couple of years.
Absolutely. So they are the tournaments being played across the country to start the year. I mentioned Milos Raonic, who was in some doubt for the Australian Open. Looks like he'll be okay. He's got the bye first up here in Brisbane, so he'll be on the Learjet from Abu Dhabi across to Brisbane, and announced in the last 48 hours that the former world number one Carlos Moya is going to be his new coach. Is Moya gone down the coaching track before, from memory?
Not that I know of. So, and in fact, we've heard very little from Carlos, haven't we, over the years? So that'll be interesting to see what he delivers.
Absolutely. Speaking of coaches, Nick Saviano, who's been around a long time, coached Sloane Stephens in her youth, and then they sort of split. She had a great Australian Open run 2 years ago when she made the semi-finals against Victoria Azarenka. Had a really disappointing 2014. And teamed up again with Nick this year, who'd come off coaching Eugenie Bouchard.
That's right.
And had a pretty decent year. Sloane was able to get her career back on track, but they've decided to go their separate ways despite having a bit of success this year. So you might give us a bit of an insight into that, Paul. I mean, coaching and relationships with players, we see some of them either really last a long time or players go through a lot of different coaches. Can you give us maybe an insight into why that might happen?
Well, yeah, I think it's a very intense relationship coaching one player. And a lot of good coaches don't really want to be tour coaches for that reason, because I think having to leave your family, go overseas, be with just one player, and that's your meal ticket. And we know how vulnerable coaches really are, because players seldom look in the mirror and say, it was my fault. So I think you'll see that merry-go-round. And sometimes, inevitably, as in Kokkinakis and Todd Langham's case, perhaps the player does, after some period of time, want to hear a new voice. And I guess when you look at Nadal and Uncle Tony, it's an amazing partnership, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And we thought maybe that partnership might come under some real scrutiny, but we're not hearing anything, really, are we, that, you know, Rafa might change. I think it's very much set in stone. He'll back himself in the Nadal. He'll back Uncle Tony. This is the partnership that started when I first entered the tour, and this is probably how it's going to win. And the question is, you know, how would he adapt, having had a coach for so long, to having another voice when he's so into his career? I mean, do you see a lot of players? I don't think you see a lot of players take on coaches when they're getting that sort of 28, 29, 30 generally.
Well, a coach has to be so many things on the road, and it helps if the coach can be a hitting partner, particularly at a lower level. And I think in Rafa's case, possibly hearing a new voice would be a good thing, but you'd hardly argue that it's his career's been unsuccessful with just one coach.
No, that is exactly right, and I reckon he'll think that he certainly can get back this year, but gee, we're blessed at the top of the men's game. We'll take a break. You're here from Pat Rafter Arena. We're going to get to Happy Valley next. Big challenger going on there. We'll check in with Vivian Christie as well. It's a big year of tennis. It all starts today in Brisbane and Perth and right around the world. The first serve covering it all.
You're listening to The First Serve, talking the world of tennis on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. For AFT Hire, for all your temporary fencing and portable toilet hire, call 1300 946 660 or log on to afthire.com.au.
It's certainly great to have AFT Hire on board. Graeme or Sash, the boys, will look after you. They've got a January special, just mentioned SEN. Have a look at their website, afthire.com.au. Crowdfencing.au. If you're running a big event in 2016, temporary fencing, portable toilet hire, crowd barrier hire, these are the boys to get onto, and they will look after you. Big SEN fans. We're live here at Pat Rafter Arena for the Brisbane International. Hopman Cup being played in Perth. There's also a Challenger event being played in Happy Valley in South Australia. And it's great to welcome Dylan Hicks, the tournament director, on the line. Good morning, Dylan.
Yeah, morning. How are you?
Going very well. Good to talk to you. Can you just, I suppose, give us a feel, Dylan, for the field that you've got down there at Happy Valley and some of the names that you've got in town?
Yeah, no worries. We've just got qualies happening at the moment. We've main draw kicking off tomorrow. We've got some very high-ranked players down here at the moment. We've got Judy Bella, who's ranked 100 in the world at the moment. We've got Taylor Fritz, who's the number one junior in the world. He also won the US Open for the boys. We've also got some up-and-coming Australian players who got some. We got four wild cards into the main draw in Matthew Barton, Alex Bolt, Mark Polmans, and we've also got Marinko Matosevic, who will be going out on court very soon. He'll be followed by the first match on currently.
Yeah, look, Dylan, the atmosphere leading up to a Grand Slam must be quite different to a lot of the other Australian challenges. Because I see you've got at least 8 to 10 players in the top 200. So what is the atmosphere really like at the moment?
The atmosphere is really, really good at this time of year. I think it's the best slot to be in to have a challenger at this time of year, because the players are looking for matches, especially when you've got Brisbane and all these other events on. Just these players that just sit on the outside are looking for matches, and to have an event like this in Australia is really good for the players to earn some points and then some prize money coming into the Australian Open.
And a great opportunity for the locals to see some top professional tennis players. So I imagine they support the event, Dylan, right throughout the week?